This is Jake Frankel with Mountain Express, and I'm sitting here with senior news reporter David Fords, who was out and about covering this week's city council primary election.
Yes, it was a fairly interesting night. Voter turnout, all-time low, again.
I was sorry you had to write that, David. In our last podcast discussing electoral politics, you said you just really did not want to write that headline.
And I'm probably going to have to write it again in the general because Asheville cannot get its act together, apparently.
Well, and the weather that day was particularly cool and rainy, and that definitely had a negative effect on the turnout. And a lot of candidates told me that they were upset that really did keep voters away from the polls. Of course, they all kind of claimed it kept their supporters away from the polls rather than some others.
But. Well, I guess it depends on whose supporters you interview. Imagine supporters of Mark Hunt, Chris Pelley, and Leo Gray were fairly pleased by the outcome. Those candidates came in the top three fairly convincingly. With it being a primary, though, six candidates remain out of the eight that were on the that were running. Only two were eliminated. That was Tim Peck and T.J. Thomason, who both had just a few hundred votes apiece.
Interestingly, I thought that they were also both the candidates that had raised the least money.
Yes.
And Mark Hunt, who got more votes than anyone else, was the candidate who raised the most money.
That's true. At the same time, Mark Cates, who raised the second most money, came in fifth. So money is not everything in politics, apparently. We'll see how that changes. I mean, it is a different electorate in the general election. But that was the... it was interesting, the results. Interesting also, Jan Davis was not in the top three. Incumbent Jan Davis, who had a very large lead last time, in the last election he was up.
He was, and I spoke with Jan Davis the next morning, and he admitted that he was disappointed with his showing, and he said that he is going to have to work harder going into the general. He said that it can be a real challenge for him being a sitting city council member, having to do city business and also run his own business. Indeed. To find the time to do all the campaigning, but he says he's gonna find that time for this next month, and they're gonna try to raise more money, buy more media, buy more signs, and he's really determined to get himself in the top three going into the general.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And interestingly, this time that there you saw Park, people advocating Rural Conservancy, and the Sierra Club both endorsed the top three. They endorsed them because they do endorsements every election, but they actively put out materials for them as a slate. And I think that was actually, and if you look at the vote totals on the three of those camps, were very close, or fairly close. I think that had a definite effect because, you know, if people were a supporter of, say, one of those three camps, of Mark Hunt or Chris Pelley or Leo Gray, and they were thinking, well, who else, and they haven't, you know, read a lot of the election guides, they haven't been following the races closely as us political wonks do, and they see a sign that has, you know, their person's name tied with, you know, two other candidates, a lot of them are going to the voting booth and tick off those three names. It's a very basic thing in a lot of larger cities, but it's the first one of the first times Asheville has really seen active campaigning for a slate of three candidates like that.
That's right. I saw those signs all over the polls. Mm-hmm. They also took out print advertisements. They also made an attack video, basically, against Mark Cates. Mark Cates is the only registered Republican in the race, of course. Park is a progressive advocacy organization. And they made a video in the days leading up to the election highlighting Mark Cates' connections to the Asheville Tea Party. When I asked Mark Cates about it, he kind of brushed off the criticism, and he didn't think that was too much of a factor.
He mentioned jobs, I take it.
In his, was it fifth place?
Fifth place.
And he said that going into the general, he was just going to absolutely stay focused on his message of trying to bring more jobs to the area. Interestingly, though, when I spoke with Jan Davis, he thought that Park and Sierra Club's slate of candidates really did hurt him. He noted that he thought that was a major factor in his fourth place showing and a major hurdle that he's going to try to overcome going into the general.
It'll be interesting to see if this, to kind of speculate a little bit here, if this continues and people take note from this tactic, you could see various groups, whether, conservative groups or more progressive or left groups, or even centrist groups or groups of specific agenda, kind of try to run a slate. You may have a few more election cycles in Asheville. It may be routine to see, signs with three candidates, or if it's a mayoral election, you're a mayor and three candidates. It's like, this is who this coalition of people is backing. I think that would actually be an evolution of some sort. Whether its impacts are good or bad, it is something you see in larger cities where people start to coalesce around a set of issues and a set of groups and coalitions to get those issues through.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if just in these next few weeks there will be any kind of opposing more conservative groups that will try a similar thing that Park has been doing with some of the more conservative candidates. I asked Jan Davis if he knew of anything like that in the works that would be backing him, and he said he didn't know of anything at this
point. Well, and it's kind of would be hard for them to put together, because Cates and Davis certainly don't agree on many issues. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. I think that's the sort of thing that some groups would have to put together beforehand when candidates are being recruited to run or are deciding to run. And I think that's where it might have an effect in the future. But I mean, you never know. It's very possible that this fact's been touted by Pelley and a number of other people to kind of strengthen their claim that they're going to make it through at this point. They have strong support. Generally, the top three vote getters in the primary are the top three vote getters in the general, but not always. There have been some exceptions to that. The last 4 years ago was an exception to that because Brian Freeborn had third in the primary and was narrowly beaten out by Bill Russell in the general election by I think 60 some votes. It was very, very close, but I think that's and it is very different constituencies that turn out in the general election. Interestingly, looking at the maps to see where people's support was, Chris Pelley had a large amount of support in the east of Asheville. Of course, he's well known there. He's been a community leader there for a number of years. Lael Gray took Montford, which is one of the largest precincts and one of the certainly most politically active and certainly kind of viewed as a progressive stronghold.
And it's where she lives. It's where she used to operate an ice cream business and has been very active in that neighborhood as well.
Yes, so. That's an excellent point as well. And then you have Mark Hunt had districts throughout the... he had a number of tie districts too, whereas one of those three candidates usually tied. And Hunt had a number of support in the center of the city and in West Asheville. Jan Davis took a number of precincts on the outlying parts of the city. And Mark Cates actually came in first in a fairly large swath of South Asheville, along Henderson, near Hendersonville Road. He had a majority in that precinct, or a plurality. He came in first in that precinct. And it's interesting to see those kind of divisions. There are different constituencies and different bases and parts of the city.
It'll be really interesting to see if any of those candidates can expand those bases between now and the general. I know they're all trying to.
Well, certainly they are. But, and we'll see. But the turnout does not bode well for that. The turnout over the last, I think since 2005, in Asheville has been one of decreasing turnout, which means decreasing bases, smaller amount of constituencies involved. Percentage-wise, at least.
Well, David, I hope you will not have to write that headline again after the general election.
Oh, I hope so, too, but I'm not counting on it.
Well, thanks, David, and thank you for listening to Local Matters.
Indeed.